welcome to the Old Time Dragnet Show from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. Got a comment? Email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Cast your vote for the show on Podcast Alley, podcastalley.radiodragnet.com, and you can follow us over on Twitter at Radio Detectives. Got an email here from Deidre in Dallas who writes in, I just saw a movie with Jack Webb and Harry Morgan. They pay partners to a murder. The movie is Appointment with Danger. Webb's character is named as Joe. The star of the movie is Alan Ladd. I enjoyed the film, and it's available streaming on Netflix. Well, thanks so much. And that actually is a pretty interesting film. Webb played a lot of heavies on the radio and quite a few in his early film career. But as he got into Dragnet, those other type of roles disappeared. By the way, if you'd like to see that film you don't have Netflix, you can go to RadioDragnet.com, click the Netflix banner, and you can try Netflix out for free, get unlimited access to the streaming site. There's a lot of great stuff there. Emergency, Adam 12, and all four seasons of the 1960s Dragnet. All right, well, let's get into today's episode of Dragnet. It's the Big Carney.
Sound out for Chesterfield. Chesterfield is best for you. First cigarette with premium quality in both regular and king size. Chesterfield brings you Dragnet.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a burglary detail. A wave of burglaries has broken out in your city. The thieves are fast. They're clever. Your job? Get them.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Thursday, December 10th. It was cold in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of burglary detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Chief of Detectives Thad Brown. My name's Friday. We were on the way out from the office, and it was 10:14 a.m. when we got to the Armstrong Schneider Jewelry Company, the manager's office.
Can I help you?
Yes, ma'am. Police officers, we'd like to see Mr. Armstrong.
Oh, yes. Just a minute. The police officers are here. Yes, sir, right away. Will you go right in, please?
Thank you very much.
Mr. Armstrong's office. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, but he's in a meeting.
Won't you come in?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Mr. Armstrong?
Yes.
It's my partner, Frank Smith. My name's Friday.
How do you do? Won't you sit down?
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Would you like a cigarette?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
I have a lighter. As you know, this firm is probably the foremost fine jewelry store on the coast.
Yes, sir. I wonder if you'd tell us about the theft.
Yes. Well, we discovered it this morning.
About what time was that?
Well, about 9:45. That's when we missed it. I guess the necklace was taken about 9. Must have been right after we opened.
Could you give us a description of the piece, sir?
Yes, I have it right here. Got it from the insurance records. Have a drawing of it. We always have that done on high-priced items.
Mm-hmm.
Here you are.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. What value do you place on the necklace?
It's insured for $8,000. Firm can't afford to take a loss like that.
Could you tell us exactly how it was taken?
Yes, I can. It was just after 9. We just opened the front doors. People had started to come in. Lots of shoppers. Christmas, you know.
Yes, sir.
Well, this one couple came in, asked to see some of our more expensive necklaces. Henderson brought the tray out of the safe and showed the collection to the people.
Henderson?
Yes. He's the clerk who was waiting on the people.
Oh.
I gave him his notice. I had to. Looks to me like carelessness.
I wonder if we could talk to him.
Yes, all right.
Thank you.
Miss Courtney, would you have Henderson sent in here, please? Yes, right away. What? No, tell him I'll call later. That's right. Have him leave the number and I'll call back. Right, yes. He'll be right in.
All right, thank you. How long has this Henderson been working here?
I'd have to check the employment records to be sure. Offhand, I think it's been about 5 years. Ever since we opened at this location. We used to have a store downtown, then we moved out here.
Mm-hmm. Where did he work before that?
Well, now, let me see. I think it was someplace up north. San Francisco, I believe. Yes, he worked in a store up there. Had excellent references. He's a good salesman.
But you gave him notice, huh?
Well, I felt it was the only thing to do. If he's getting careless, he has no business working in a store that deals with expensive merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Yes? Send him right in. What? No, please tell him to call later. No, I'm not into anyone. No one but Sharon. My wife.
Yes, sir.
Come in.
Do you want to see me, Mr. Armstrong?
Yes, come right in, Henderson. These are police officers, Mr. Friday and Mr. Smith. This is Charles Henderson.
How are you?
Hi.
How are you?
They'd like to ask you some questions about the theft.
Yes, sir. Anything I can do to help?
Could you give us a description of the company you waited on?
Yeah, I think so. The man was about 35, maybe 40.
About how tall was he?
Well, maybe 5'11". Might have been 6 feet. I'd say he weighed about 155 pounds, something like that.
Uh-huh. How about his coloring, his complexion?
It was light. Looked like he'd been out in the sun, though. His nose was all sunburned. I noticed it because you don't often see people with sunburns like that this time of the year. You know, December.
Mm-hmm. How was he dressed, you remember?
He had a gray hat on, gray chalk-striped suit on, flannel blue shirt, maroon tie. Didn't see his shoes. He had on one of those new round collars, though. You know, rounded here on collar points?
Mm-hmm. Was he clean-shaven?
No. No, he had a little mustache. One of those that looks like it's drawn on with an eyebrow pencil. Just a line. You know the kind.
Uh-huh. How about the woman? What'd she look like?
There's a small woman, not much more than 5'2", little, about 100 pounds. Real pretty. She had dark hair and blue eyes. Very fair. I noticed it because I thought at the time that maybe she dyed her hair.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any marks or scars you saw?
No. No, I don't think so, no.
How was she dressed?
She was a little too overdressed. Had a dress and a coat. Had a jewel clip here on her dress. She looked kind of flashy, cheap, you know.
I see. Anything about the way they talked and the accent, anything like that?
No, nothing I can remember.
Would you remember if either one of them wore glasses, maybe?
No. The man, though, he had a kind of funny way of talking.
What do you mean?
Well, he sounded sort of like one of those pitch men on TV. You know, the kind that sell kitchen gadgets, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us what happened, what they said when they came in, how they took the jewels?
Yes, they came in right after we opened and asked to see something in necklaces. Said they wanted to pay around $5,000.
Mm.
So I brought out the tray, but didn't find anything that they liked. And then I brought out the other tray. They looked at one of the necklaces. Beautiful thing, $8,500. You know, Mr. Armstrong, the emerald-cut diamond with the small sapphires?
Yes, I know the one. Beautiful thing.
Excuse me, can I use that ashtray a minute?
Yeah.
Thank you. Wonder if you'd go on, please.
Oh, sure. Well, I brought out the other tray and showed them the necklaces in it. They both looked for a long time. Then the woman said that she didn't think there was anything there she wanted.
Mm-hmm. What was the matter? Didn't they care for our designs?
No, it wasn't that, sir. They just didn't see anything they liked. So they moved back to the other tray. Then the woman said she'd found what she wanted. It was a small piece, 3 diamonds and 4 small rubies.
Did they buy that?
No, they said they wanted to think about it. They made a big thing about asking me if I thought that it would be sold before they could make up their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I told them if they wanted to put a small deposit on it, we could hold it for them.
Yeah.
Man said he'd rather not do that. He said they'd know by this afternoon. At that time, there were several people in the store, Christmas shoppers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were looking at a display of bracelets we had on the counter. I went over to him to see if there was anything I could do. You know, tell him that I'd get someone to wait on him.
I understand.
It's a foolish thing to do, I know that.
I'm afraid it was.
Yeah, I know now. Well, when I got back, the couple was leaving. They told me they'd be in this afternoon and let me know. Walked out of the store and I stopped to help a gentleman that came in. When I turned back to the trays, I noticed that the necklace in the more expensive tray was gone.
Mm-hmm. Would you be able to give us positive identification of these people if you ever saw them again?
Yes, I'm sure I would.
Wonder if you can come downtown with us and look at some pictures, see if you can identify the thieves for us.
Of course, if Mr. Armstrong has no objection.
Not at all. You'd like me to come along, too?
I don't think that'll be necessary right now. If there's anything we need, we can get in touch with you here, can we?
Yes, right here at my home. I can give you that number.
All right, fine.
Okay. Here it is.
Thank you, sir. Well, thanks very much. You ready to go?
Yes, sir. I'll get my hat.
Just a minute, Henderson.
Yes, sir.
As soon as you get through down there, come on back. Your job's waiting for you.
All right, sir. I'd like to come back.
Anything I can do to help, just let me know.
All right, Mr. Armstrong.
Not at all.
I'll get my hat and meet you at the door.
Right. Have you notified the insurance company of the theft yet, Armstrong?
I have a call into them now. I'm expecting an agent from the firm any minute. Sure hope you can recover it.
Yes, sir. We'll do the best we can.
An $8,000 necklace. How do you think they'll go about disposing of it? Break it up?
Well, either that or leave it in one piece.
That'll make it kind of hard to unload, won't it? $8,000?
Not at their price. A.M. We talked to the other people in the store. From them, we got verifying descriptions of the two thieves. 11:32 a.m. Frank and I took the clerk, Charles Henderson, down to the city hall and had him go through the mug books. We got out a local and an APB on the pair of thieves, and a description of the stolen necklace was prepared for the Daily Bulletin. The insurance company that underwrote the necklace got in touch with us and said that they were getting out printed circulars to jewelers throughout the country. The victim was unable to make an identification from the mug books. We had the M.O. of the theft run through the stats office, but when the possibles were checked out, we had no new leads. Further interrogation of the owners and employees of the stores in the immediate vicinity of Armstrong and Schneider failed to turn up anything new. The theft was not a new one. For the past 6 weeks, there had been a series of burglaries taking place out on Wilshire Boulevard. Most of them had been exclusive women's stores or jewelry shops. To date, all of them had been articles of small individual value, none that approached the value of the necklace taken from Armstrong and Schneider. In an attempt to apprehend the thieves, all of the usual avenues of sale of stolen goods had been checked. None of the precautions apparently did any good. The thefts continued. Another 2 weeks passed. In that time, the thieves hit three times, all in the same general area. The employees of the victimized stores were questioned. From the information we got from them, we could be certain that the suspects were the same ones we were after. On Tuesday, December 29th, Frank and I got back from checking a lead.
Well, there's another one that went no place.
Yeah, you want to check the book?
Yeah, I'll get it.
Anything there?
Yeah, there's a call here from Alex Olson.
Olson?
Yeah. Got a Dunkirk number.
You know Olson?
No, that name doesn't mean anything to me. Say what it's about.
No, so just call him. It's important.
All right. Give me the number, huh?
Yeah. Here you go.
What is this? 190? Is that a 9?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's a 9.
You don't make 9s very good.
Slopey, can't write.
Can I speak to Alex? Oh, Alex Olson. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The hotel.
Yeah.
Hello. This Olson? Yeah. This is Friday. Police department. You want me to call you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure, I remember, huh? Yeah, sure. We'd like to talk to you. Yeah. Now, we'll come over there. That's right. You want to give me the address? Just a minute. Yeah. Okay. Right. Bye. Olson, he works for that carnival. You remember we talked to him last year? Says he wants to see us about some burglaries now.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Says he's in with the thieves. 11:26 a.m. We drove out to the address Olson had given me on the phone. We talked to the desk clerk at the hotel. He said that Olson had just moved in and that during the time he'd been there, Olson hadn't talked much to any of the other people in the place. The clerk gave us his room number and Frank and I went up to talk to him.
Well, where is that?
Joe Friday.
Just a minute.
Hi, come on in.
Thanks.
Hi.
Olson, this is my partner, Frank Smith.
Uh-huh. Hello. Yeah, I remember you. Sit down.
Thanks.
You want a drink?
No, thanks.
Oh, I gotta have one.
What was it you want to talk to us about, Olson? Olson?
Huh?
What was it you want to talk to us about?
Oh, man. What a hangover. I really get it.
Yeah, now let's get to the point, shall we? What's on your mind?
Oh, I ought to. I don't know why I drink so much. I feel terrible the next day. I always drink too much.
All right, now look, Olson, maybe you got a lot of time. We haven't. We didn't come over here to sit and watch you drink. Now get to the point. You said on the phone that you're in with a gang of thieves we're looking for. Now what about it?
Oh, what I told you on the phone is true. It's all true. I'm glad to tell you. Get it over. Get it all out in the open. That's what I need to do. Get it all out in the open.
You had any breakfast yet?
No, I just got up before I called you.
Is there any place around here you can get something to eat?
Don't make no difference around here. Nobody knows me. I think there's a place down the street right next to the hotel. But what's all this about food?
I think you'll feel better if you have something to eat, won't you?
No, wait a minute.
You've had enough of that. Put it down.
I don't want no food.
All right, we do. Let's go.
You guys are getting a little bossy, aren't you?
We want to hear what you got to say. You keep hitting that bottle, neither one of us is going to make it.
Come on, Phil. We'll buy you some breakfast.
You got a coat? It's cold out.
Oh, yeah. Sure glad you guys came. I'm glad to get this off my
Wait a minute. Chest. Those dresses in there. Woman's clothes. Those belong to you?
Oh, no. I'm just keeping them for a friend.
Well, labels on some of them here. Come from out on Wilshire, don't they?
You get a gold star. I'll tell you about them. That's part of the deal.
You want to tell us now?
Well, look, you made a deal about some coffee. Maybe it'll help me find my hands. Are you going to back out now?
All right, let's go. We'll come back.
You can come back. Take all the time you want to. Look the dresses over. I got some other stuff you'll want to see, too. But come on, let's go. Let's walk down. Now, let's not take the elevator. It's too noisy. Murder.
All right.
Well, what's this other stuff you wanted to show us, Olson?
The jewelry. I got some of it in the dresser. It's cheap stuff. Nothing worth anything. It's cheap.
Where'd you get the clothes and jewelry?
Oh, Red asked me to keep them for him.
Who?
Well, he's the guy you want. He's the one that's engineering the thefts. He's the one. He's a real crumb. Big man. He's the one you want. I'd like to see you get it.
How many other people working with him?
Three others.
You know who they are?
Sure, sure. I know the whole story, start to finish. I know the whole thing. I'll tell you all about it. Let's go out the side way.
All right. Now, where's this coffee shop?
Wait a minute. You sure you wouldn't like a belt?
No, neither do you. Now, let's go.
Okay, you're calling. Restaurant's right down here, just a couple of doors.
You know where this Red is?
Yeah, I'll tell you. He's the one you want.
How about the woman who works with him?
Oh, that's May. Red's not the guy who goes into the stores, though. A fellow that works that part of the operation is his brother-in-law, a guy named Hank.
What was her name?
May.
What's May? Is she the woman in the team?
Yeah. Red wouldn't trust anybody else. Oh, yeah. He's a big man, you know. You don't believe it, you just ask Red. He'll tell you. Big man, big bum.
This the place?
Yeah. You positive? No, I guess you wouldn't.
Booth in the back, all right?
Yeah. Hey, Joe, it doesn't look like they got service in the booths. What do you want, Olson?
Well, it ain't what I want, but I'll settle for a cup of coffee.
Mm. Joe?
Yeah, that's right for me.
I'll get it and bring it back.
Mm. Come on, Olson, let's go back. Mm. Sit down. Mm. All right, now, suppose you start right at the beginning and tell me about it, huh? Who's Red? How do they work the operation? Where can we find them? Tell us everything.
Well, first off, Red's real name is Keith Jameson. They call him Red because he's got red hair, it figures.
Yeah. What's he do for a living?
He works for Kearney. Most of the year we're on the road. This is the off-season, so he's laying up in a trailer camp out in the valley. He doesn't do anything regular, no? He just steals.
Is he one of the owners of this carnival?
No, he runs a pitch game. You know, rings and the pegs. If you play real good, you can win a quarters with a slum for $5.
Mm-hmm. How about his wife? She travel with the show?
Yeah, she travels. It ain't a regular show, not Red's party. He's just got a concession, you know. He goes with the show like a leech. He's been thrown out of a dozen carnies for crooked stuff. His brother-in-law's a dip when we're on the road. Picks pockets in the crowd around Red's place. He's gotten us all in a lot of trouble. No carny in the country will have us around anymore. Don't take him long to get wise to us.
Mm-hmm. He's the one that's in on the burglaries with Red and his wife, is that it?
That's right. He lists the stuff.
How about his wife? Where's she fit in?
Well, she's the distraction. You know, the one that comes up and asks questions, pulls the clerk away so Hank can lift the stuff. In case there's any trouble, Hank acts as lumber, too.
What do you mean, lumber?
Well, you know, muscle. He takes care of the guys that
beef. Mm-hmm. Hey, give me a hand with that, huh, Frank?
Yeah, here. Look at my thumb. Stuff splashed on it.
Think it's blistered? No, it's good hot coffee in there. Here you are, Olson.
Oh, thanks. Come on, pass the sugar, will you?
Yeah, here you are. Where do you fit into this, Olson?
No place, really. I'm just along for the ride. I think Red figures sometime the axe is going to fall and he wants my head under it. I usually hold on to the stolen stuff until Red finds a buyer.
Does he use a fence?
No, he pushes the stuff himself. He usually works on a tip. You know, if somebody wants to buy a piece of merchandise, Red meets him and sets up a deal.
Uh-huh. You willing to cooperate with us all along the line on this thing?
Sure, I'll go along with you.
You know where the necklace is that they lifted a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, Red's got it. He's looking for a buyer now.
You think you can set up a meet for us?
Yeah, if he thought you wanted to buy the piece, it could be done.
Can you set up the meet?
Sure. I want to see you get him.
Tell me something. How are you going to come out on this if we pick up Red and the others? What do you want out of it?
I got my reasons. I got good reasons.
Mm-hmm. You want to tell us what they are?
Sure, I got no reason not to. Give me the sugar again, man.
Yeah.
You see, Red figures he's going to make a sideshow character out of me next season. I'm not going to go that route.
Yeah? What do you mean?
Oh, you know, the wild man from Borneo sit in a pit all day and yell at the customers. Bitch like that always draws a big crowd. Red figures it'll be good for picking pockets.
Yeah.
I don't know, by now Red's out of his mind.
Yeah.
Wild man from Borneo. Even a leopard skin won't help. Look at me.
Hmm.
I only weigh 105 pounds.
You are listening to Dragnet, the authentic story of your police force in action.
p.m. We continued to talk to Alex Olson. He told us what he knew of the operation of the thieves. We went back to his room and searched it thoroughly. We found several pieces of cheap costume jewelry and several of the stolen dresses. Most of the other things in his room were worthless, and as far as we knew, had not been stolen. We took him down to the city hall and had him checked through R&I. He had an arrest record showing several arrests for being drunk in a public place. We checked the name Keith Red Jameson through the files. There was no record on him. There was no record in the moniker file either. Jameson's brother-in-law and the two women were also checked out, but we found no previous criminal record for either of them. Communications were gotten off to Washington to check the possibility that the suspects might have records in other states. 4:40 p.m., we met in Captain Wisdom's office. Olson told us that he'd arrange a meeting for us with Red. While we listened on an extension phone, he called the suspect, told him that he had a buyer for the necklace. A meet was set up for the following morning at the entrance to Alvera Street. Red said that he'd have the necklace with him at the time. 5:37 p.m., Frank, Olson, and I drove out to the trailer camp in the valley. We checked the trailer that Red lived in and also the one his brother-in-law had. We got a good look at the car Red would drive to the meet, and then we arranged for a stakeout on the trailer park. 8:23 p.m., the three of us drove back down to the city hall.
You ain't going to try and take him at the meet, are you?
We hadn't got around to that yet. Why?
Well, you do, and it's going to point straight at me. You ain't going to put him away forever, you know. He's going to get out, and he's going to draw a straight line to me. I don't want that. I got to be protected.
We'll take care of you. Don't worry about it.
Oh, big deal. You'll take care of me. Well, how? That's what I want to know. How are you going
to
do it?
We'll get him before he gets to the meet.
Here you go in here.
Look, tell me, how are you going to work it?
We'll come up with a way.
You ain't going to get near him in plain clothes. I'll tell you that right now. He'll spot you a mile away. Comes the cops, he's got eyes in the back of his head. You can't get anywhere near him in those clothes.
Don't worry, we won't. He'll be picked up for something else. We'll find the necklace on him if he's got it, and he'll never know that's what we're after. Well,
how are you going to work it? How?
We'll be in uniform, in a traffic car, coming in from the valley. That might work, huh, Frank?
Yeah, I think so.
He's bound to make a mistake. When he does, we'll be there.
Yeah, that'll do it. You'll never figure anything to do with that, never.
Yeah, it ought to work.
Yeah, that'll work good. Yeah. You guys wouldn't like
No, we wouldn't. No booze.
Okay. I just noticed the bar across the street. I thought maybe you guys would like to stop there. I'd feel a little better about this if I had a drink. Just a little one. Come on now, bud.
Sorry, Alex. We've got to take you over to the main jail.
You got to what?
For the time being, we got to hold you.
Now, wait, it ain't the jail that bothers me, not being in jail. It's just that I hear it's pretty rough to get a drink over at the Gray Bar Hotel, you know. That's the only thing that bothers me. There's no room service there.
Yeah, well, it'll all work out for you.
Well, I don't know. Since I got mixed up in this thing, seems like I got no choice in anything. It don't seem fair. I got no choice.
DA's office will know what you did. It'll be marked down that way.
Well, I got no beef with you guys. You better take it easy with Red, though.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's got a gun.
The following morning at 4:30 a.m., Frank and I were dressed in the uniform of traffic officers. We were parked two blocks from the trailer park in a traffic car. The meet with Red was scheduled for 9 a.m. The officers on stakeout at the trailer park told us that they'd seen no activity in Red's trailer the night before. From where we were parked, we could keep his car under constant surveillance. At 7:45 a.m., we saw the suspect and his wife come out of the trailer and get into the car. We followed them over to Ventura Boulevard, and from there down Coinga Pass. We kept far enough behind them so that they'd have less chance of knowing that they were being followed. They turned by the freeway construction point and continued on down Coinga Boulevard. When they got to the corner of Yucca and Coinga, they made a mistake. They turned left from the wrong lane of traffic. Well, that's it. You want to hit the siren?
Yeah.
I got the light.
He's going straight down Yucca, Joe.
Yeah. Pull up behind him, huh?
Right.
Okay, he sees us. He's pulling over.
I'll cover the other side.
Watch yourself.
Right.
What's wrong, officer? I didn't do anything.
See your operator's license, please.
Sure, it's in my pocket. I'll get it.
You want to get out of the car, please?
Well, I don't have to get out to show you my driver's
license. I'd like to have you get out of the car.
Don't argue with him, Red. Do what he says.
What's all this about, anyway? What do you stop me for?
You made an illegal left turn back there at Coinga.
Illegal? Oh, you got the wrong guy. See that guy in front of me? He jumped the light something awful. He's the guy you ought to be after. He's the one, not me.
All right, move over by the car.
What?
Over by the car. Now put your hands up there. No, against the car.
I don't know what you mean.
Now come off it, Jameson. You know what we mean.
Get out of here!
All right, Jameson, on your feet.
What are you doing? You got no right to beat him up like that. Big thing for making a left turn. What are you guys trying to prove? Just wait until the papers get this. We got friends, you know.
All right, lady,
friends.
Take it easy.
I won't take it easy. Man makes a mistake, and you cops act like you were the judges. You got no right to treat a citizen like that.
Here, Frank, you'll hold this.
Yeah. 38 Colt. You play rough, don't you, Red?
Ah, shut up. What's this, Red?
You leave that alone. That's mine. Doesn't concern you.
Necklace, Joe?
Yeah.
So it's a necklace. What's that prove? You got nothing on us. Write out the ticket for the left turn and let us go. That's all you got.
You got a permit for this gun?
No.
This necklace is stolen. You know that, don't you?
I don't know anything about it. I'm not going to say anything until I see a lawyer. Nothing.
I knew this would happen. Always knew it about you. You're yellow. Willing to take a chance as long as you ain't going to be nailed. Let something go wrong and right away you start screaming for a lawyer. Poor excuse for a man. You took a chance and you lost. Well, don't be a coward about it. You got no excuse. None in the world. You got no excuse at all.
Well, that makes you even, lady.
Huh?
Neither of you.
The story you have just heard is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent.
On April 15th, trial was held in Department 87, Superior Court of the State of California, in and for the County of Los Angeles. In a moment, the results of that trial.
Now, here is our star, Jack Webb.
Thank you, George Fenneman. I sure hope you were listening real close to what George Fenneman had to say tonight, because it proves what I always tell you. You can't beat the premium quality you get in Chesterfield, regular or king size. I'd like you to try Chesterfield's. They're much milder, and they have a wonderful taste.
Henry Donald Swenson, Anna Catherine Swenson, and May Ruth Jameson were tried and convicted of 5 counts of burglary in the second degree. They received sentence as prescribed by law. Burglary in the second degree is punishable by imprisonment in the state penitentiary for a period of not less than 1 nor more than 15 years. Keith Walter Jameson was tried and convicted for receiving stolen property on 5 counts and received sentence as prescribed by law. Receiving stolen property is punishable by imprisonment in the state penitentiary for a period not to exceed 10 years. Because of his cooperation, Alex Robert Olson received a lighter sentence and was placed on probation. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department. Technical advisors Captain Jack Donahoe, Sergeant Marty Wynn, Sergeant Vance Brasher. Heard tonight were Ben Alexander, Stacy Harris, script by John Robinson, music by Walter Schumann. Hal Gibney speaking.
For a million laughs, tune in Chesterfield's Martin and Lewis Show, Tuesday on this same NBC station. And sound off for Chesterfield's. Either regular or king size, you'll find premium quality Chesterfield's much milder. Chesterfield is best for you.
Chesterfield has brought you Dragnet, transcribed from Los Angeles.
Welcome back. Well, that has to be the most unusual reason for one criminal turning state's evidence on the other. I didn't want to be the wild man of Borneo. Fascinating show. This one would have been interesting if it was made into a television show. This is one of the radio shows that wasn't made into a TV show. And it would have been interesting for Friday and Smith actually getting into police uniform. Because as they work in detectives division, they're always in plain clothes. And I don't know any picture of Joe Friday or Jack Webb, either one, in an actual police uniform. So this episode would have been the one chance to actually get to see that if it had been made on TV. As an aside, Frank Smith wore a police uniform for one of his later roles in a 1960 series Felony Squad. the one he was committed to by contract and so couldn't come and make the 1960s Dragnet. By the way, I did pick up some information on the Dragnet 1969 TV release. There's going to be an uncirculated TV episode of Dragnet included with the Dragnet 1969 set. We heard the radio version of this show earlier this year. It's the Big Smoke. It's the TV version. And remember, you can pre-order your copy of Dragnet 1969 at RadioDragnet.com. And hopefully this will encourage more episodes to enter into circulation. Got a comment here from Dan. Recognize the pusher from the rescue show Emergency in DHQ Night School, our number 7 on our 1960s Dragnet. And Webb used a lot of actors, the theme between Dragnet, Adam 12, and Emergency. He really was loyal to his actors, and when he knew that they could work with him, he worked them in continually, whether it was Art Gilmore, who passed away recently, Virginia Gregg, Peggy Weber, wide variety there. So thanks for that, though, Dan. Got another comment. Nathan comments, added to the favorites pages of Protectors of the Book. That's the fan page for my podcast. Great work, Adam, as always. Jeremy says, my daughter says hi. She thought it was pretty cool we were listening to a show hosted by someone that lives near us. Keep up the good work. Well, thanks, Jeremy. And Janie comments, I don't miss an episode. All right, well, that'll... thank you so much for the comments. That'll do it for today. If you have our app or the extra site, we have the show Night Watch up for your listening pleasure. It's a mid-1950s radio version of Cops. For those of you on our new feed, this week we'll have another 1950s public domain Dragnet TV episode for you. But if you have a comment, send it to box13@greatdetectives.net. Remember to cast your vote once a month for the show on Podcast Alley, podcastalley.radiodragnet.com. And become one of our friends over on Facebook, facebook.radiodragnet.com. Andrew Rhines does our sound, and he hosts his old-time radio Daily Westerns podcast over at otrwesterns.com. And our opening theme music is done by Ken Curlin, kencurlin.com. From Boise, Idaho, though, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.